Most of the time when we talk about changes in Pacific Island nations, it's the impact of climate change and conditions, including lack of medical care, that take our attention. Recently, a group of international researchers has instead been charting changes in Pacific economies. Asian Development Bank senior economist Christopher Edmonds is among those researchers. He's come to Honolulu from Manila this week to lead a findings conference at the East-West Center. He says that Hawaii's Pacific Island neighbors are changing at a pace not seen since the post-war period. Specifically, that would include changes in export, imports, finance and banking, development assistance, tourism, and labor. And Christopher Edmonds joins us now to talk a little more fully about some of these issues. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak about the research the Asian Development Bank has been working on.
As we talked about just a moment ago in the intro, that most of the time we hear Pacific Island nations and thoughts migrate to climate change and the impact to a lot of nations, and also the social impact to Hawaii. But there's a whole part of the conversation that you've now researched that seems to be left out. Why?
I think there's always a tendency to focus on the most immediate disaster, and undoubtedly that is also taking up a larger part of what the Asian Development Bank is working on in the Pacific region in terms of emergency assistance, post-disaster reconstruction, urban planning to try to avoid the worst damages. But we do have these longer-term shifts in the global economy. We have trade costs coming down. We have sort of the economic center of gravity of the global economy shifting to Asia. And between the U.S. and other North American countries and Asia, we find Pacific right in the middle of that.
We talk a lot about the pivot to the Pacific. And in looking at how that is developing economically, there could be a good story and maybe a not-so-good story here with what's been happening.
Correct. So I think a lot of the things the Hawaii economy and other economies are facing with particularly the rise of the People's Republic of China's economy with rising their demand for raw materials. So a lot of the recent growth in the Pacific has been driven by the resource exporters. On its face, that's a very good development because you have high growth. On the other hand, it actually demands more from the Pacific governments because all of a sudden they have more resources to command, but often capacity is a little lacking. And left to its own devices, that growth doesn't tend to be very inclusive. In other words, you have a lot of wealth flowing into a country, but it's flowing into a small number, and it's not really creating a lot of new jobs. So, you know, looking at the long-term demographic forecast for the country, we're quite concerned in terms of the number of jobs that are going to be needed in these Pacific Island countries. They are some of the countries that continue to have among the highest population growth. And where are those jobs going to come? And that's where we see opportunities in some of the areas you had just mentioned in terms of labor, trade, tourism.
That assumes that the United States stays greatly involved with this. But we know that, for example, the COFA, COFA will be ending, the compact will be ending sometime mm-hmm. soon, and not necessarily big guarantees that the United States will be deeply involved with how the Pacific Island nations are reshaping their economies.
Sure. I mean, across the Pacific, you have a big divide between the North Pacific countries, where U.S. and to a lesser extent Japan still tend to be the dominant economic partners in terms of trade. In the South Pacific, it's much more of a realm in which Australia and New Zealand are the dominant partners, along with People's Republic of China and other East Asian economies, representing an important source of demand for exports, source of imports, source of tourists to visit the Pacific.
But also control.
Yeah. I mean, that hopefully the countries remain in the control of their governments, but we have a lot of very young governments without a lot of capacity. They're also very small, fragile states. So it's a very long-term enterprise to try to build up that government capacity for self-governance.
That sounds tenuous.
Governance is tenuous everywhere.
So in looking at some of the other findings that you are going to be sharing as you're here this week, how do you think that we ought to sort of re-envision what's happening in Pacific Island nations that might be more realistic than just focusing on some of the issues, big as they are, on climate change and the impact to Hawaii socially?
So, I mean, there are to me, this is a region which traditionally hasn't been in a lot of the public attention, but there are emerging opportunities in the region, especially as trade costs decrease and we work towards improving connectivity. So one of the active areas of ADB's activity is in the region is helping governments install undersea cables. And we see a lot of opportunities with improved internet access. And if any of your listeners have been to some of these countries, you realize how horrible the internet access is. And that can be a real game changer for some of these countries in terms of accessing global markets and even creates opportunities for particular types of entrepreneurs that didn't exist. So instead of, you know, they've always been hamstrung by the national markets are so small. But if all of a sudden you can get so you can ship goods out, we actually see a lot of opportunity for niche markets to develop. And, you know, that's going to be where jobs come. So a lot of it has to relate to the agriculture and fisheries sector and some of the very things that the Hawaii economy works on developing in terms of their niche markets for the high-end Kona coffee, the Noni oil, all these things.
So that seems to suggest a natural pairing with what's happening in Hawaii.
In many ways.
And greater alliances. That's okay.
Absolutely. Excuse me. No, I mean, coming from Hawaii, I see a lot of models here because Hawaii has faced a lot of these issues earlier, had the benefit of you know, strong links to a large national economy. So in many ways, it does represent a good model for the countries.
Are there particular organizations in Hawaii that are actively looking at those alliances with other Pacific Island nations?
I mean, so we're here partnering with the Pacific Island Development Program of East-West Center. UH also has a number of people working on Pacific Island issues. But frankly, I'm always a little surprised working on the Pacific from the other side of the ocean, how Pacific the Hawaii-based organizations don't tend to be as active in the region as I find some of my colleagues from Australia or New Zealand.
Which seems to suggest that there might be some opportunities, but also jockeying for power, going back to the issue of who will step in the absence of somebody else. Can you overlay some of maybe what you've been looking at with regard to the TPP? Because that's had a lot of concern for people in terms of labor, in terms of what's going to happen job-wise.
Sure. I mean, the TPP, from the Pacific perspective, although the word Pacific's in there, there's not one Pacific member. And so they feel a little left out of the process. At the same time, because of their strong trade links to some of the key members, we see it having very large effects.
As we have to go in just a minute, if there's, you know, one thought that you'd like to leave people with in terms of how we regard Pacific Island nations economically, what do you think that they need to walk away knowing?
Well, I think the big message is that there's a lot more dynamism and diversity in across the Pacific Islands than we've thought of in the past. So we do see high growth in some of the countries, and it's raising new challenges. And we're in an era of change in the global economy. So I think it's important that the U.S. stay engaged in the region, and people need to think about it because, you know, if we stay engaged in the development of these countries, it'll really prevent problems later on.
I look forward to talking to you more when you're back in Hawaii. We can sit down and do a whole town square and engage a lot of people in that conversation.
Sounds excellent.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Christopher Edmonds is senior economist in the Asian Development Bank's Pacific Regional Department. His work outside the ADB includes teaching and research assignments with the University of Hawaii Manoa, the East-West Center, and the International Rice Research Institute. The half-day public presentation, Evolving Linkages of the Pacific Island Economies, happens tomorrow morning at the East-West Center. Details are on our Facebook page, Hawaii Conversation.